So I began systematically to look further into it. So finally what I did was I took saline, which is a sterile solution,
sure,
about 20 cc's, injected it deep underneath the skin, because this was not a superficial infection. This was a very deep one. And she had already been operated on with debridement, you know, where they take off this, the top layer. Well, I injected about 20 or 30 cc's of saline, let it sit for a little bit, and then reinserted a needle, and I got back 5 or 6 cc's, and I looked at it under a microscope, and I said, there is a bacteria here, gram-negative. I said, this is pretty remarkable. So I sent it to the lab. They came back saying there's nothing there. I said, hello? I mean, I've got a slide here which says different.
Did they say simply nothing there?
Yes, they said it wouldn't grow. So I said, well, get out your, you know, your bacteriologic techniques. Talking about these microbiologists who have been dying, I mean, you know, you need some sophisticated doing around here, and I was dealing with people who hadn't gone the next step. So then they did do the next step on my insistence, and they came out with a bacteria, which is remarkable, because Stenotrophomonas multifilia. That's the name of it, and it's a variant of a more common type of bacteria called Pseudomonas. Now, once I had found this bacteria, and this was the mysterious bacteria, which had wouldn't culture for them in the lab until I really insisted that there is something here. And I said, look at this gram stain, and they said, well, it could be a contaminant. I said, fine, culture me the contaminant. And this happened actually 2 or 3 times, so I had a confirmation that this bacteria was involved. And then I next dealt with a couple of further steps saying, how could she possibly have gotten this rare condition? Upon which I discovered that when analyzing, like, the French waters, you know, which everyone's carrying around a bottle of, I'm not going to mention any names, but you know what they are.
All right, exactly.
And a third of them are, in fact, contaminated with this bacteria.
All right, now, how did you know that?
Well, there's a study, actually, in the European Journal of Cancer, who actually was interested, and their conclusion was people who are cancer patients shouldn't be given any of these waters because they had just very simply took 5 brands and cultured them.
So you're saying that the people who are coming down with what we're calling Morgellons disease, that this percent, and it must be a small number, isn't it? Even though it's happening around this country,
well,
the percent that drink the water, not everybody gets it, right?
Well, of course. And the thing is, so this bacteria, though, is getting spread far and wide because you drink the water. It goes into the intestines. It sits there. People actually wash their babies with it, wash themselves with it, thinking that it's kind of, quote, better or purer. And so literally, this is, you know, going widespread around the world. Now, the next thing about this bacteria is I said, well, is this a contaminant? And turns out that a lot of times it's just present in the spring. This is a bacteria which has been considered to be relatively harmless, and it's not even tested for. And if you go to a lab with the spring water and they say, well, culture it up, they'll say nothing there because you need these special culture techniques for this unusual bacteria.
If you were able to talk with every Morgellons disease patient, I wonder then if they'd all tell you we're drinking some of this bottled water.
Well, I would bet a whole bunch of them are. And if not, it's just around now in increasing amounts. And it also is found in almost any water supply because it happens to be a bacteria which likes water.
Let's go through some of the symptoms, Dr. Schwartz, if you would tell us again.
Okay, because some of the symptoms are very, very important. Because I said, here are these people who are convinced that they've got a parasite. They're scratching themselves. And I said, how could they be feeling? Well, it turns out that this bacteria is rare, and it has something called flagella. Now, people remember their high school biology, and they remember the paramecium with these flagella, which, you know, flap back and forth. And these, so how would you feel if you had 1 million bacterias with flagella going back and forth and swimming?
Mm-hmm.
And that is where that phenomena. So then I went a little bit deeper into this whole, you know, in terms of symptomatology. What about these threads? I mean, where could they be coming from? Well, then I discovered that these bacteria also has a tendency to want to latch itself onto something. And it produces threads, fimbriae they call it.
Which is what a lot of people are saying they have.
And they're pulling out these threads, and this bacteria actually produces it. So, and then, of course, it produces these pustules, but they're not superficial. They're deep pustules, and it was almost like deep nests.
Some of the emails I've gotten, Doctor, over the last several weeks are from people who are now literally crying that maybe, finally, they know what's wrong with themselves because they've been to doctors, they've been to hospitals, they've been in emergency rooms, nobody knows what's wrong with them. And in many cases, people simply say, have you been to a psychiatrist?
Oh, and that's what happened to this lady, too. Now, I mean, I'm in New Mexico, and it's not the total backwater, and they've got infectious disease specialists. I sent her to all of them because, you know, I mean, I'm a practitioner, and I've written a lot of textbooks, and, I mean, I've had my share of, you know, deep involvement in the standard, you know, allopathic medicine, and I kept on referring her over to infectious disease specialists who would do their usual culture and couldn't find anything. They sent it back to me saying, we don't know what it is, and you know, go treat her. But then I discovered that this bacteria is now perhaps due to all the antibiotics in use, but it has a profile of enormous resistance to the most common antibiotics given. Enormous resistance. So I finally had the lab do some serious testing as to what it was sensitive to, and I found that it was, in fact, sensitive to the so-called sulfur drugs, the kind that are often given to women with urinary tract infections.
Right.
Bactrim and that sort of thing.
What about other antibiotics? Do they work?
Yes, but it's on a single case-by-case basis, because this bacteria, which Lisa had, was resistant to everything but the sulfur drugs, but not in its normal doses. I had to go triple dose. And at that, I began to get a dramatic response.